All right, welcome to the Fit Vegan Podcast. I'm your show host, Maxim Seguin, and I'm the founder and CEO of Fit Vegan Coaching, a company that is on a mission to help 10,000 people get lean, thrive, and reduce their risk of chronic illnesses by 2033 and a million by 2050. I believe that having a fit, healthy body and mind is the foundation to living an incredible life, and this is what the show will give you if you choose to listen and implement. Enjoy the episode and have a great day. All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fit Vegan Podcast. Today, I am joined by Dr. Neil Barnard, who is the president of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where he heads a research team investigating scientific issues in nutrition and health. His work has revolutionized the dietary approach of type 2 diabetes, and he now works on the same for weight loss. So Dr. Barnard also wrote the book, The Power Foods Diet, which we're going to be diving into today. Dr. Barnard, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Good. Excited to be recording with you.
Yes, likewise. Thanks for including me in your programming.
Yes, of course. So let's talk about your new book, The Power Foods Diet. What got you to want to write this book coming from the world of more diabetes?
Yes. Well, I have to say, everybody's trying to find a way to deal with unwanted weight. And that's for good reason, because when people are carrying excess weight, it's not just a cosmetic issue and doesn't just slow you down or weigh on your joints. It can increase the risk of heart disease or increase the risk of certain cancers and diabetes as well. And so it's understandable that a lot of people are looking for an answer. And so many of the answers that people turn to really let them down. I've got to count calories. I've got to starve myself. And by Wednesday, you're ready to eat the sofa. We don't feel good being hungry day after day. Or some people go on a low carbohydrate diet. And yeah. That says, you know, you can't have fruit and you can't have pasta and you can't have rice and you can't have potatoes, da, 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 da. And that feels just like a punishment too. But what we've discovered is that there are certain foods that cause weight loss effectively automatically. Yeah. And if these foods are part of your diet, you're going to lose weight. If they're not, you're going to have more trouble. And there are also some foods that tend to cause weight gain. And once you know which foods are which, you just pile on the right ones. You don't worry about calories or carbs, or you don't even have to exercise. Exercise is great, but even if you don't exercise, your weight tends to take care of itself based on how these foods work. I got excited about it, and I thought people should know what these foods are. I call them power foods, and hopefully if we bring them into our routine, we'll do better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you did a good job. I was reading through the book before we started the interview. It was like, I think you did a really good job of cutting through the confusion, because I think a lot when it comes to fat loss, I think there's like 20 different methods that are being shared all over social media and in right. different books. And so how were you able to kind of bring it down to its core of these power foods?
Well, there are really three things that the foods will do. The first is that some of them tame your appetite. Now, people are taking injectable drugs to tame their appetite. They're going into the pharmacy and getting Wegovy or Ozempic yeah. or something like that. But yeah. it turns out that foods do the same thing if they're the right food. Then the yeah. second thing is called calorie trapping. And what that means is that foods go down your digestive tract. They trap some calories and carry them out with a waste. So you don't even absorb them. And most people have never heard of that. But you can lose a good 100 calories per day just literally flushing them down the toilet, because foods absorb them, carry them away. And then the last thing is that certain foods will boost your metabolism. So for about 3 or 4 hours after the meal, your body's burning calories faster. So foods will tame your appetite so you eat less. Mm-hmm. They will trap calories so that you absorb less. And they will boost your metabolism so that you have a lot less to store as body fat. So it makes weight loss really easy.
For sure. So obviously the combination of these three would make the world of a difference. So let's just cover the first one, the foods that tame the appetite, which, you know, let's call them natural Ozempic foods without having to take the drug. So what are some of the yeah. foods that naturally tame the appetite?
Okay. They come into really four groups. One is fruits, one is vegetables, one is whole grains with fiber. And yeah. the other is the bean group or the legume group, beans, peas, lentils. Our research colleague, Dr. Hanna Kalioba, did a study where she fed people a single meal. And if it was a meaty meal, you know, a Big Mac or something like that, it really didn't do anything for appetite control. And okay. that's really important because your body has a natural appetite taming substance called GLP-1. And that's what Wegovy stimulates an analog, or it is an analog of GLP-1. Normally you eat food, GLP-1 comes out of your intestine, goes to your brain, says, you can eat less because you're eating now. You don't have to keep, going after food. You've got it now. You can't patent GLP-1 because your body makes it. It's a natural substance. So Novo Nordisk made an analog of it that they can patent and make, $15,000 a year per person from it.
That's
and
crazy.
It goes to the brain and turns on the appetite, but foods will do this automatically. So the key parts of this are the foods have to have carbohydrate in them. Plant protein is particularly good. Fiber is especially good as well.
So basically we're talking about increasing satiety with the types of food, right? Because I had my moments of junk food vegan when I started, like you can't eat one Oreo, you eat the whole pack of Oreos and you still feel yourself like being hungry and wanting to eat more food. So that would be because there's basically no fiber or not a lot of fiber in the Oreos.
Right. Yeah. Now eating Oreos beats the heck out of having beef jerky. Away from animal products is always a good thing. But within the plant community, Oreos are not going to be your best choice because to make the little biscuits and the creamy filling, they took out all the fiber, basically.
Yeah.
So fiber has effectively no calories, but fiber fills you up. It's in plants. It's not in animals at all. So plants are cool. But when people think, gee, grains, whole grains and beans, what does that really mean? What it can mean is, let's say, for breakfast, I'm having some cereal with cow's milk. If you have cereal with almond milk or soy milk or rice milk or something like that, that's vegan. But now let's make sure that we've got some fiber in there. So whatever cereal you're having, whole grain is good, but you could top it with blueberries and strawberries and bananas and things like that. And you can really power that up. Or let's say for dinner, we're going to an Italian restaurant. And you have some angel hair pasta and you top it with meat sauce. Meat's got a lot of fat, zero fiber.
Yeah.
So it will fill you eventually. But by the time it fills you up, you've eaten a huge number of calories. So this is not a slimming recipe. If on the other hand, you say to the waiter, wait, give me your chunky arrabbiata sauce. Okay. Every Italian restaurant knows what this is. Arrabbiata is the Italian word for angry. That means it's that zippy, spicy sauce. And if it's got some vegetables in it and some grilled asparagus on the side or grilled spinach, the fiber gets built in a really delicious way. You're not thinking about this as being high fiber foods. You're thinking about this as a beautiful Italian meal. You have your espresso afterward, glass of wine beforehand if you want. But when you fill up after this plant-based meal, you have had hundreds of calories less than if you'd had the meaty meal. So you're taming your appetite with these healthy foods.
Yeah, beautiful. So I want to ask something. So for the people listening, we're still going to talk about the trapped calories and the way to increase the metabolism. But when we talk about fat loss, a lot of people don't like to track their calories. And we had spoken before this recording that, we can't redefine the laws of thermodynamics, right? So ultimately, you do have to consume less calories than you are expending for us, or else you would put on some weight. So all the tools and strategies are to help you not consume more calories than what you're expending, but without having to track it, because these natural tools are just naturally going to let you be in that deficit. Ultimately, it's going to keep you at a healthy weight, right?
Exactly. See, your body is designed to be at a healthy weight. And if it's not, what's happening is your natural homeostasis isn't working. If you haven't had water in a while, your natural homeostasis says, feel thirsty, go to the refrigerator and get something to drink, or go to the water fountain or something like that. And so normally when we eat foods, our appetite control center says, stop eating, you've had enough.
Yeah.
But when we're on a cheaty, meaty, oily diet, we will eventually trigger the appetite shutoff machinery. Satiety will occur. But by the time it occurs, you're going to have eaten too much. And so we start gaining weight. We just want to get this back. We are built for high fiber foods. If you don't have them, your appetite control is shot. your hormonal control is shot. Your body needs fiber for a whole lot of physical functions. So we've got to return it, and it will help control the appetite.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty hard for someone to be morbidly obese on fruits and vegetables and grains, right? Like naturally the body would start to, I think, regulate itself after a while once the nutrition has been changed.
Yes, and I have to say that there was a couple of amazing studies that just knocked me out. One was at Harvard, and they looked at certain foods that were associated with weight loss. They took more than 100,000 people, followed them over a number of years, and they tracked which foods they were eating more of as the years went by for whatever reason. Yeah. And they discovered that if people ate more beans than they were eating before, they tended to lose more weight. Okay, well, beans are really high in fiber and very low in calories. So you're satisfied sooner. Melon, citrus fruits, green leafy vegetables, cruciferous vegetables, and the granddaddy of all of them, oddly enough, was berries. Blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, blackberries. If people ate more of these foods, they tended to lose a lot more weight. And about 2 years after this Harvard study came out, some researchers in England did an interesting follow-up. They brought in almost 3,000 identical twins. And, genetics, exactly the same within each twin. But the diet is not necessarily the same. You're not necessarily eating the same thing as your sister's eating. So yeah. They did DEXA scans on everybody. That's you lie the participant on a table, and you're tracking, you can measure where is her body fat. Is it in the abdomen? Is it in the thighs? Where is it? And what they found is that women who ate more berries had about 9% less abdominal fat compared to their genetically identical twin. Now, what they were looking at, they didn't really call it berries. They called it anthocyanins. Anthocyanins are the blue in a blueberry or the reddish color in a grape. And if people ate more anthocyanins, they tended to lose weight in the Harvard study, and the same thing in the UK's twin study. Bottom line, we know enough to say it's time to bring those foods into my routine. And when people do that, they start getting the appetite control back just naturally without thinking about it.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you start to eat healthier, you have obviously less cravings for these types of food, and you do get satiated a lot faster, where again, makes you not want to have the types of food that would be calorie dense and depleted in nutrients and depleted in fiber.
Right.
Yeah. I was doing research for this podcast, there's only one podcast that I personally listen to, and it's Diary of a CEO, Stephen Bartle, which I know you had the opportunity to jump on. And you guys had a big conversation about cheese and how it was one of the worst ones, I believe. You mind diving into that? He had a lot of resistance to it. No, it was eggs. I think it was eggs they had a resistance to.
People have resistance to both of those topics. And it's understandable. With eggs, people think of them as a great protein source. Start off your day with lots of protein and whatever. But the surprise is that if you eat a potato, it's got more protein than an egg. Now, what I mean is large potato, large egg, or medium potato, medium egg. The potato has more protein. It's got a lot more too. It has complex carbohydrate. And of course, you can ruin a potato. Comes out of the oven, slathered with butter, sour cream, cheese doodles, bacon bits, and you can pack the calories in it. But there's nothing special about an egg other than phenomenal marketing, because they took this little cholesterol bomb that has a little bit of protein in it, and they've got people eating raw eggs, and guys go to the gym and they think, oh, I need this protein. They would do better if they would go home and do a plant-based diet. They would be able to put on the muscles that they want to put on without putting on all the cholesterol.
That is such a true statement. I was that guy back in the day. I would drink raw eggs as my protein shake before I went to the gym. And I'm so happy that I transitioned almost a decade ago to eating plant-based. I wish I would have done it sooner. so we covered the foods that would increase satiety, ultimately, that would kind of simulate Ozempic to a certain extent, right? Can suppress the appetite. The foods that trap calories, I think that's a new concept for a lot of people, to eat foods that would pull out calories of their bodies as if they didn't consume them. So what is that family of foods, and ultimately how does it work? What's the process behind it?
Okay. In Boston, Tufts University, very well respected university, they brought in volunteers. And half of the volunteers ate, were asked to eat bread, white bread, and rice, white rice. The other volunteers had whole grain bread, brown rice. Now, the reason the rice is brown, it's not painted brown, that's the fiber coating on the rice. Yep. And so then what they discovered is that as time went by, the foods that were going down their digestive tract, if it was white bread and if it was white rice, it didn't trap calories at all. The calories in the other foods they were eating just went straight into the bloodstream and they were absorbed. But if they had the whole grain bread and the brown rice, it tended to trap calories in their digestive tract. And don't try this at home, but it was a bit of a graphic research study. They actually collected their fecal samples and they discovered all these undigested, unabsorbed calories. These people were kind of pooping out their calories and flushing them down the toilet. Not huge. The difference was about 100 calories a day. But
yeah,
that's cool because we're adding this to the appetite control effect. So I'm eating berries and beans and melons and things like that. And that's controlling my appetite. And then the foods that come in, I'm also trapping some calories too. So by now we're 300 or 400 calories down from where we were before, feeling fine. We've got, you know, great energy, feeling better than before. You feel light, you feel good. You're not hungry at all, but you're taking in fewer calories. And among the ones you're taking in, you're trapping some.
So it would be due because of the higher fiber content. So if we grab the theoretical number that people talk about for what 1 pound of fat would be even to, right, to say 3,500 calories. So at 100 calories a day over the course of a month, roughly, right, 35-ish days, you would lose an extra pound of fat, technically, just with the trapping of foods.
Right. And yes, and you're miles ahead of me. Because what we're doing here is we're just adding up the what each power food will do.
Yeah.
So, okay, anthocyanins. I got some blueberries on my morning cornflakes with some soy milk. Fine. I get a big load of anthocyanins. I got the fiber in them too. But the key is to make all these things taste good because you don't want to just feel like you're a scientific research subject. So that's why I'm going to say, all right, indulgent breakfast, French toast. Okay. How about if I take that French toast and instead of whatever I'm going to, butter and so forth on top, I'm going to put on some blueberry maple syrup. Okay, anthocyanins coming into it, and the blueberries have fiber, right. Now, I'm going to make my French toast with whole grain bread, calorie trapping, and I'm not going to throw in all the goo that people dip it in, the cream, milk, butter, or whatever that is, you know, eggs, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you can make it much lighter. So to do this, when I wrote Power Foods, the Power Foods Diet, I worked with Lindsay S. Nixon and Dustin Harder, who are brilliant recipe developers. And Lindsay said, here is the killer French toast. And Dustin said, well, I've got the maple blueberry syrup and you should try it. It's really, really easy to make, delicious. Your family will think, oh, you're going to gain weight from all those carbs, but it's exactly the opposite. And there are 120 some recipes in here. They're all indulgent seeming, delicious, cool. But the secret is they use the power foods.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know there was a French toast in here. I'm definitely going to have to find that recipe after. I love some French toast on the weekend.
And try the syrup. The blueberry syrup is really killer. It's very, very simple, very, very easy. And there are blueberry muffins. You know, you'll see we're big on blueberries. There's vegetable, lentil soup, mango dal, all kinds of just really delicious foods.
Would blueberries be the most powerful out of the berry family? Is that what you guys kind of focus on that one?
I don't think so. They're probably just the one that the author really likes.
Okay.
All right. That's me.
Yeah.
You know, I love blueberries. But no, they're all fine. Raspberries, strawberries are perfectly fine. And in the UK twin study, they found that you know, if one twin was having strawberries, even pears, you know, you don't think of a pear as a berry. It's not. It's very different. But it's got that little blush on it, and that's anthocyanins. Yeah. You know, so they're in lots and lots of foods. So I just happen to be really partial to blueberries. So I threw quite a lot in.
Okay, perfect. Well, let's talk about the last one, the type of power foods that would help you basically burn more calories. But before we dive into that, I have a question for you in terms of like the energy system, right? So you know that every day we burn a certain amount of calories, when it's going to be from our BMR, when it's going to be from our exercise, what's going to be from the thermogenic effects of food, one's going to be from non-exercise activity thermogenesis, so moving, walking throughout the day. So I figured the types of food you're consuming, I feel like all of these would fall under the thermogenic effects of food. Is that the category that they would all be in, with the trapping and all that?
Well, trapping is really just almost a, I think of it as almost a physical effect. Like, okay. you know, the fiber is sort of like a sponge that went through and just said, wait a minute, I'm going to mop up all these calories that you're going to try to absorb. I'm going to carry them away. And it will do that without changing your metabolism. You're not burning calories faster necessarily. Although it's interesting you mentioned that, because the Tufts researchers did find that their research participants did actually have a little boost of their metabolism that they kind of weren't intending to have.
Yeah.
They had it. But the increase in metabolism that we see, and we first wrote about in 2005, we brought in a group of women. They were after the age of menopause. They had done everything. They had done Jenny Craig and Nutrisystem and Atkins and South Beach. And, you know, the usual thing, they lost some weight, they put it all back on, they got discouraged, yeah. They tried again, da, 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 da. And what we said is, wait, stop. No animal products. Keep oils really low so that everything you're eating has fiber. Everything you're eating is a plant. But we shared cool recipes. I mean, great recipes. Things like the pasta arrabbiata I mentioned, or linguine with artichoke hearts and, you know, seared oyster mushrooms. And they could start their day with a big bowl of oatmeal topped with whatever they wanted. There was no limit on carbs or whatever. But their after-meal metabolism rose in response to each meal. But what was especially cool was it started to reprime their body, so that 14 weeks later, we tested the identical meal they'd had at the beginning of the study. And we found that they got the usual rise in metabolism plus about 15% after being on this diet for 14 weeks. And we repeated that with a much larger sample and published it in JAMA Network Open, I think around 2001, something like that, and found the same thing, that you're just boosting your metabolism and you get that boost for about 3-4 hours after the meal.
And what are some of these types of food that would fall under that category that people can put an emphasis on?
Okay. Oh, and by the way, I didn't mean to evade your question. You have your resting metabolism, what, you know, your body is just burning calories when you're asleep, when you wake up. The part we can really manipulate is the after meal metabolism, is the thermic effect of food. And that can be good for about maybe 200 calories a day or something like that. Here's what not to do. You bring in the research participant, you sit them in a chair, you say, we're measuring your metabolism now. And how we do it is we put a mask on them. So we're measuring their oxygen uptake and their carbon dioxide output. And with some pretty simple arithmetic, I know their calorie burn. Okay, so now eat a meal. If that meal is a pat of butter, or 2 pats, or 5 pats, or 3 sticks of butter, their metabolism just flat, like nothing. It doesn't boost their metabolism at all.
Yeah.
Greasy, fatty foods are a big metabolic waste. They don't boost your metabolism. They don't boost your calorie burn. What they do is they get absorbed within about the first 40 centimeters of your digestive tract. It goes into your bloodstream. And thighs, here we come. So what you've got to do is you need carbohydrate in that meal. It's good to have protein in that meal. And I don't mean animal protein. We focus on the plant proteins are the best. Comes along with fiber and you get the other benefits. But that's when you suddenly see, okay, now my calorie burn starts to ramp up and it stays high. For some people, as long as 5 hours after. So, you know, the increase is not enormous after one meal. But you're eating 3 meals a day or maybe more.
Yeah.
And you put this all together and it is astounding to see the burn that you can get.
So I'm curious, like, what's the potential range of additional burn calories when you combine these three methods? Have you guys kind of looked into like the minimum to kind of like the high end of what that would look like? Because it sounds like you could almost create a 500 calorie deficit per day without having to be in one.
Well, yeah, I think you quite easily could. Now let me be clear. When we do research with thousands of people, but we do it in real life. So we ask them to tell us what they're eating. We track their diets, but they're at home or they're at Taco Bell or at a Chinese restaurant or at work or wherever they are. So we're tracking them in real life. We don't lock them up and we don't give them the food that they're supposed to eat. So our calculations are based on what they're telling us. And then you have to decide, are they telling us the truth or not? And we do crossover studies where we try one diet, then we'll try another diet. But the appetite taming can be good for probably around 300 calories a day would be very normal to see. Somewhere between 200 and 400 or 500 would be the range you'd see. For the thermic effect of food, you know, that can go from zero for butter up to, you know, a couple of hundred calories there. The calorie trapping is good for at Tufts, it was about 100 calories a day. So pretty soon you're talking about
it is
a fairly serious burn.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. I mean, when I wrote the Power Foods Diet, I want to give you the power foods so that you know what they are and you could choose how much you want to burn. But you might say, okay, well, tonight I'm going to go out and I'm going to have a whole bunch of greasy French fries and ketchup. Okay, you know, you'll get a little bit of burn, but you're going to get a lot of calories there. It's maybe not the best choice. You use it as much or as little as you want.
Yeah. So let's talk about that because, so the name of the podcast is Fit Vegan Podcast. So we have a lot of people that are vegan and are looking to kind of level up with their fitness and their body composition. But we also have a lot of people that are veg curious that are kind of looking into these methods, potentially been, like you mentioned, or struggle with their weight. They've tried a bunch of different things. They only put it back on after. So for the people that are considering drugs like, Ozempic, Wegovy, I think I said it properly.
Yeah.
Like that are considering these drugs versus doing like the power foods. How do you have that conversation with them? Because normally you probably do them one-on-one with your patients, but if you had to do them one to thousands through the podcast, how would you have that conversation with them?
Actually, I should say we usually work in groups because it's cool. You maybe 15, 20 people in a group. They support each other. They share recipes with each other. And one guy is losing weight the very first week. He's down a couple pounds and that inspires other people. So that's typically the way we work. And I got to tell you, our people love it. We do them in research studies and our clinic here, Barnard Medical Center, we work that way too. So if a patient comes in and says, okay, I got to kill this weight, you know, I need to lose 80 pounds or 100 pounds or whatever it is, I could take Wegovy. You could. Here's the problem. It's a bit like protection money. When you stop paying, all that weight comes back.
Yeah.
Wegovy currently in the U.S., the typical retail charge is about $15,600 a year.
Like a grand plus a month. It's about $1,000+ a month, basically.
Yeah, a little bit more than $1,000 a month.
Yeah. And you
take it for life. So a 35-year-old person who thinks, you know, I'm really having trouble and I want to take this drug, you're signing up to take this forever. And all the issues that go along with it. Okay, not everybody, but many people get digestive issues with it, nausea, vomiting, and that kind of thing. And it slows down your stomach emptying. Some people just kind of put up with that. In some cases, those abate and they go away. Some people don't have those problems at all. Pancreatitis, higher risk of thyroid cancer has been in the evidence, a number of other issues. And for many people, it just doesn't seem right. Because what you're doing is you're putting this sort of weird artificial lid on your natural appetite. Your body wanted to do this naturally. Your body will make GLP-1 if you just let it rather than injecting it. It's a little bit, I got to tell you, like cholesterol lowering drugs.
Yeah.
You can eat greasy cheeseburgers topped with bacon. Your cholesterol goes up and Lipitor will make it go back down. And you take Lipitor for the rest of your life because otherwise your cholesterol starts going up. You're at high risk for heart attack. Stop. 90% of people on a cholesterol lowering drug wouldn't need it if they weren't eating cholesterol and eating the animal products that cause your body to make more cholesterol. Wegovy's like that. Wegovy makes up for the fact that we are defeating our natural appetite control.
So it just makes it, for example, the cholesterol lowering drug that people can continue to eat burgers, but not be as affected by it ultimately. And Wegovy is kind of the same thing. Those people can eat the shit food that they want, but not as much because they're not as hungry. So it feels like an escape ultimately for those people, like a short-term solution. Is there any side effects?
I think you're touching on something really important here. Let's say I take a cholesterol lowering drug and so my cholesterol comes down and the burger is less likely to cause the heart attack than it would otherwise have.
Yeah.
But that burger isn't just causing heart disease. That burger is also leading to a higher risk of cancer and a higher risk of diabetes. So I could take anti-diabetes drugs and it's also raising my blood pressure. So I can take antihypertensive and it's making me heavy. So I can take Wegovy. And so people come into our front door all the time and they're not taking a drug. Yeah. They're taking a sack full of medications, something for their cholesterol, something for their diabetes, something for their blood pressure and something for their weight. And our job is to say, let's use the power foods. They're going to help you do this naturally. And don't get me wrong. For some people, there is some residual need or benefit from medication. And if so, we'll use that. But if we can do it naturally and with food, the health benefit is dramatically better.
Yeah, because I had this conversation with a few people. They're like, I'm dealing with all this, so I'm just going to take this pill. And then I can continue living my life the way that I've been living it. And then this pill will bring me back to normal, ultimately. So obviously, Wegovy and Ozempic have been really popular lately. Like you mentioned, there's side effects. Are there side effects to people taking it and then just randomly stopping it because they ran out of money, it's no longer available? Besides the weight coming back on, is there any other effects from just like starting a drug like this and just stopping it a few months into it?
With Wegovy or Ozempic, which by the way are the same drug, they're just marketed under two different names.
Okay.
The big thing is that the weight comes back. And the problem is, let's say you were taking it for a year, which is common. You know, you take it for a year and then you think, gee, I can't keep doing this anymore. And they stop, the weight all comes back. You didn't learn anything during that time. You didn't learn how
to healthy habits.
They're going to protect you. You're no better off. You're back to square one. So my thought is, wait, stop. There are some foods that love you back. And you can do my French toast if you want. Or Dustin Harder, one of the terrific recipe developer, has this thing called a triple berry sorbet. Or we've got black and blue brownies in black beans, blueberries in the brownies. I mean, just delicious foods. And if a year ago you had started making my recipes and sharing them with your family, by now your whole family would be doing dramatically better. That's another thing about it. A medication doesn't have any benefit for people around you. But when you learn how to use the power foods, you can get healthier, you can get slimmer, and so can everybody who eats with you or hangs out with you. Let's say you've got a spouse, you've got a partner, somebody who you depend on. You're not going to share an Ozempic injection, I hope. But what you can share is my pasta arrabbiata, my Southwest chili. You can get healthy together. If you've got kids, and if you are not role modeling healthy foods for your kids, what happens? The kids they grow up to have the same risk as all the other American kids around them, which is overweight, diabetes, higher risk of cholesterol issues, sometimes before they get their high school diploma. So we want to learn how these fuels work, use them, and they are delicious and they're fun, and your environmentalist friends will praise you because, you know, it's not meaty junk. So anyway, the benefits of doing it naturally are just huge.
Absolutely. And, you know, it sounds like, again, the foods that you recommend in the book, that's screaming nutrient density. But looking at these short-term drugs that are short-term solutions, to me, the first thing that came to my mind is like, just how much nutrient deficiency do you have by cutting your appetite that much, right? It can't, especially for a year. For a year, you're consuming a fraction of what you should be consuming. And it's probably not foods like this that you recommend in the book. I'm sure it makes a world of a difference in terms of their health and consequences.
That's something that we've been trying to look at actually now. And people have done, they started to study, okay, let's say you're on Ozempic, which foods are you eating more of? Which foods are you now eating less of?
Yeah.
And when people's appetite is restrained, they're thinking, I'm just not that hungry. Well, I better eat. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is in some cases, although their calorie intake is going down because their appetite is pharmacologically suppressed, they're not eating in a healthier way. In some cases, they're eating less healthfully than before.
Because they calorie just don't dense have the food. Appetite.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an unfortunate thing. But by the way, I got to say, people who live around Novo Nordisk factories are making money like crazy. And so, you know.
Yeah, because I can see that happening. When you're in deficit for that long, like you do want to go for calorie dense food even more. So yes, it would be consuming less, but they're still, you know, I doubt they're going for avocados and you know, nut seeds and nut butters and all of these things.
Right.
Yeah. So I interviewed Shawnee, who did some, I hope I'm saying her name properly.
But Shawnee.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She used some of the tools in your book. How was it kind of working with her? And ultimately she lost 100 pounds. That was an incredible transformation.
Shawnee illustrates really a couple things. One is you don't have to do this with medication, and you don't necessarily have to spend hours and hours at the gym, although it's, frankly, it's a good idea to go to the gym or to lace up your sneakers and give your body kind of a reason to live. But you don't, it just doesn't have to hurt. This can be fun. And when she discovered that foods could love her back, yes, she lost 100 pounds, but there was something more. As you might remember from her story, she started gaining weight as a kid.
Yeah.
She ate the way the rest of the family ate. You know, there was abundant food around and it wasn't the right foods. And so by age 12, she was in weight treatment programs with her mom. When she changed her own diet and started to think, I love these foods and I love how I feel. And frankly, I love how I look. You know, she just looks better to her and to those around her. Her family could grab onto that too. And now she's helping her family. She's helping her mother and those around her. So that's really a beautiful thing, I have to say.
Yeah, I think it ties in perfectly with what you shared earlier, right? It's how the parent is eating is how the child will eat after. So I know with her, it was kind of the same thing with her mom. But I understand also that, you know, I've had the opportunity to travel all over the world and you see certain areas that are not as financially blessed. Man, is it ever hard to find healthy food once I'm there? It's so challenging to go and find healthy restaurants in those areas that are struggling a little bit more financially. And so I can understand like where they're coming from with eating these cheap foods that are available, if that's all the budget can kind of allow for them. And so I know that can be a completely different podcast of how do you go to educate everyone. But that's one thing I wanted to mention. It makes such a world of a difference how the parents eat and how the kids are going to be affected growing up. So is there any other patients that you kind of worked with to kind of lose some weight from the book?
Well, lots and lots and lots of people. I got to tell you, Stephanie Ignafo is an interesting success story. Stephanie lives near Chicago with her family, and she and her husband both had weight issues. And Stephanie herself, she says, I was the chubby kid as a kid, you know, growing mm-hmm. up, and I tried everything. And when she got married, she and her husband kept trying to lose weight with different methods. Her daughter decided that she was going to go vegan. She was going to follow a plant-based diet as an adolescent. And Stephanie thought, I'm not sure, you know, she consults the pediatrician. I'm not sure this is safe. But her daughter says, Mom, I think this is probably going to be okay. And she does it. And it turned out to be a really good thing. So Stephanie said, wait a minute, I'm your mom. I'm going to do this with you. And she did it with her, and she switched to a plant-based diet, very much like what I've written about here. She starts losing weight. Dad does it with them, and the whole family does it together, and they're just losing weight hugely, and they become such role models. But one of the most striking stories that I'm sharing in the Power Foods Diet was Steve Lohm. I don't know if you got that far, but you've got to read Steve's story. Steve Lohm is a cardiologist, and I first met Steve in Chicago when he was working at Rush University. But he, about, when was this? Maybe a year ago, something like that. He moved out to California near Monterey. He's running a half marathon. He's a big runner. Running down the road, right in front of Dr. Lohm is another runner, falls down, flat on the ground, dead. Steve's a cardiologist. He runs over there, guy's pulseless. He yells and call 911, get me a defibrillator, and he starts CPR. The defibrillator arrives, they shock the guy, they get a pulse back, they load him into the ambulance, send him off to the hospital. And so Steve is sitting there, Dr. Lohm, and he's thinking, all right, that was something. I guess I'll finish the race. Finishes the race, gets to the finish line, and right in front of him, another guy falls down dead, pulseless. The second guy in the same marathon. They got ambulances ready, you know, and they got a defibrillator. They shock him. They get the pulse back. He goes to the hospital. And so then the Today Show got a hold of this story, and they reunited them sometime later. And Steve, in the interim, Steve Lohm had talked to them about the kinds of foods that you read about in the Power Foods Diet. And both of them had made diet changes, and they all reunited and said, this is what we got to do. And they then ran together. But the reason I'm telling you this is Steve has his own story. He didn't start out as this healthy guy. He started out as a guy who was 100 pounds overweight himself. And he went online, very responsible, looked at what the dietary guidelines for Americans say, and he followed it. You know, 3 glasses of milk per day, have meat for protein, da, da, da. And this did not work for him.
Yeah.
And he thought, I got to go further. And so into his body went the foods that you're going to read about in the Power Foods Diet. And he lost weight, lost, you know, well over 100 pounds, and just looks like a different person, a person who's in charge. And so anyway, all of these stories, these are real people. And when we deal with patients or research participants here, so many people think this couldn't be me. You know, I've had too much trouble. Yeah. Everybody thinks that. And our job is to show that, A, this can be you. You can succeed. You can succeed. You will succeed. And secondly, it's going to be easier than you thought. There are some things that are hard. Running a half marathon is hard. Saying goodbye to the food you love is hard. But this approach is easy because I'm going to give you dessert. I'm going to give you breakfast. I'm going to give you the foods that you like, that your family is going to like, that will end up saving you about $500 a year. That's right. The food costs are about 16% less than for other foods. So it's a win-win-win.
Absolutely. I love the story about the half marathon. I've done several endurance races, triathlon, half Ironmans, and it's not because you run those races that you're healthy, right? And I think that was like a perfect illustration is you can be able to run a half marathon, but if the nutrition isn't right, you can still have issues with your heart. You can still have issues with your body, even though you're doing all of this training. And the nutrition is the key that most people miss.
Yeah. But you want to fuel up, right? You know, obviously you want to fuel up for a lot of reasons. You want to make sure that your heart is healthy. You want to also fuel your recovery. You want to fuel your endurance. I mean, you know, you take your car, and if you have a car that takes unleaded, but you put in diesel, it'll run, but your exhaust is going to be terrible. Your mileage is going to be terrible. It will not run well. And most people are putting diesel into their unleaded body. And once you change that, you know, you're not going to live forever, but you're going to live a whole lot better.
Let's debunk one more thing here before we do a little book giveaway. Carbohydrate, I think, is one of the carb phobia. I think is one of the main reasons that some people are hesitant to transition to a plant-based diet. You know, as much as we want it to be about health, people are like, yeah, but there's a lot of carbs if I go plant-based, if I eat all of these foods. Can you explain why carbohydrate is not the reason why people put on fat when they start to eat plant-based?
Well, first of all, most people don't put on weight when they go plant-based, but people can if they go to the freezer aisle and they're getting some coconut oil-based ice cream substitute, something goofy like that. Don't do that. No, first of all, glucose is good. Glucose is the natural sugar that is the preferred fuel for your brain and your muscles and all the rest of you. Glucose comes from carbohydrate. All carbohydrate is a whole bunch of glucose molecules all stuck together. Mm-hmm. And so your digestive tract breaks them apart and sends them to your brain so you can think, sends them to your muscles so that you can move, and so you can store a little glycogen for the next race you're going to run. Carbohydrate is your natural fuel. Where people run into trouble, and the whole reason the carbohydrate got a bad name, is they take their nice whole grain bread out of the toaster, and they slather it with butter, and suddenly you're putting a lot of calories in it. Or you take some innocent pasta, and you slather it with meat sauce, cheese sauce, or a huge amount of oil. Oils and fats of all kinds have 9 calories per gram, but the carbohydrate had only 4. So carbs are not the devil. And in our studies, people are able to eat more carbs than they ever ate before, and they lose weight really, really easily. So I know that there are so many diets that say, don't eat bread, don't eat potatoes, don't eat fruit, da, 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 da. That's a mistake, and people get sick of it.
Yeah. And it's the proof that it's the body's preferred source of energy. When you run an endurance race, no one's loading up on avocados and nuts when they're running. They're loading up on bananas and dates and mangoes because that's what the body is seeking when you're in that state when you need to perform. So Dr. Barnard, I really enjoy your work and I appreciate the book. And so I want to give the opportunity to 5 listeners to win a copy of the book. If you guys are listening, just head over to my Instagram. There's going to be all the instruction. The links will be down below. We'll be giving away 5 books. So Dr. Barnard, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. Any last words of wisdom that you'd like to share with the audience?
Just real quick, focus on the short term. Right now, you don't have to decide. What am I going to be eating 30 years from now? Think about this week and maybe next week. Try out the foods for about 7 days, then jump in for about just maybe 21 days or so, 3 weeks. At the end of that time, your body will be transforming. You'll feel it. You'll be losing weight. Your energy's better. And your tastes are now adjusting. And you're finding really cool new foods. Give yourself just that short period of time. And then after that, you do what you want. But almost everybody says, this is it. I wish I discovered this 30 years ago.
Yeah, I like that because it gives people the opportunity to give it a fair shot, to really experience what it's like and feel the changes because, it's like looking at the whole mountain. It's like, I got to climb this whole thing. You're telling me I got to commit to this whole thing versus, hey, let's just take it one step at a time. And I said, try 1 week. So but I know you got great recipes in there. I'm excited to try the French toast. I'm going to give it to my wife on the weekend so we can try it out. But thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. And I will link all the links for your work down below so people can check it out and ultimately buy a copy of the book if they don't win a copy. So I recommend you guys go and check it out. And thank you for listening to this episode, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, be sure to rate the podcast as it helps us grow and spread our message. And if you know this will help and resonate with someone, be sure to send it their way so that they can have the opportunity to level up their life as well.